This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, exploring local, state, and national issues that impact East Texas.
Well, hello, East Texas, and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm Jeff Rourke here with Melissa Kaiser.
Hi, Jeff.
And Paul Gleiser.
Good morning.
And once again, we are back with you on this Sunday morning to just kind of sit around the table and talk about all the hot stuff going on this week in the news and in culture and everything else. Paul, why don't you start us off?
President Trump gave a speech week before last, and it was surprisingly ignored. I mean, it didn't make a big ripple, and it was a big topic. And I know why, because the politics of it are so fraught. But he spoke. You know, he did his usual talk. You know, touted the successes of his agenda, which you expect him to do. But then he got, you know, the thrust of the speech was in election integrity. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you express even a shred of doubt about the outcome of the 2020 election, they immediately put a tinfoil hat on your head and dismiss you as a loon. And I have fully recognized that Joe Biden was sworn in as the 46th president of the United States after having been duly elected by the Electoral College as set forth in our Constitution. I recognized him as the president from the first day of his term to the last day of his term. Didn't like a thing about his administration, but I fully accepted he was president. That is not does not exclude having doubts about the election that preceded it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things happened that night that got, you know, roughly half the country saying, what's going on here? And there's been a whole lot uncovered since we found out that you just look at it, you say, how can that be right? And I wrote a piece at the time, you know, right after the election when Trump was really upset and a lot of people were complaining and, you know, how is it, why'd they stop the vote count in Georgia? Why did they simultaneously stop the vote count in Michigan? At the time that you stop the vote count, Trump is comfortably ahead. When you resume counting, the lead evaporates. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are. I mean, just objectively, that kind of has an odor to it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a big portion of the electorate of the United States has doubts about the integrity of the election. Whether it was a clean election or not, if people doubt that it was clean, that's a problem that has to be dealt with. Mm-hmm. We, all of us, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, Libertarians, Whigs, whoever, have to believe that our elections are straight, fair, and clean. Mm-hmm. So that when the outcome is announced, we say, okay, my side lost. We'll lick our wounds and move on, and we'll go after it the next election. So I wrote at the time, if Biden and the Democratic National Committee truly believe that the election was totally on the up and up, they should welcome an exhaustive audit.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And we never got that. And instead, we got, you know, you got silenced. You got you could get kicked off of social media. All kinds of things happened. And so Trump raised all these issues that he says, you know, that his Department of Justice is uncovered. And that's the problem. It's a DOJ under his administration. So people who don't want to listen to it, don't want to hear it, are going to dismiss it that way. But I thought he raised some important things that we need to get to the bottom of one way or the other.
And he is hardly the first in American history. I mean, going back to the, 1828 election with Quincy Adams and moving forward to
1960. John F. Kennedy, and at the time, I said this about Trump. 1960, Richard Nixon had every reason in the world to question the outcome from Illinois, which would have made him president. Mm. He had every reason in the world to go after that, and he said, no, I'm not going to. It'll be bad for the country. Mm-hmm. And I believe that what the mistake that Donald Trump made, mm-hmm. he may have legitimately felt himself aggrieved. His grievances may be 100% legitimate. But by the time the Supreme Court refused to hear the Texas case, mm-hmm. it was over, and he should have shut up about it.
Yeah.
And said, we're on to 2024.
Ultimately, though, he did pack up the bags and leave.
Yeah, ultimately, he power was transferred constitutionally, as it has been, going back to 1780. What was the first election where where John Adams was elected, whatever year that was.
1797,
where power was peacefully transferred from Washington to Adams, and it has been ever since.
Yeah.
And even with Trump, for all the January 6th crap and all of that, we transferred power peacefully and constitutionally in 2025.
Yes, indeed.
And in 2021.
Do you remember many years ago the phrase hanging chads hanging around our language?
No, I don't.
That was from the George Bush re-election against Al Gore.
Al Gore claimed the election was stolen. Yeah. 2016, we had another Democrat claiming the election was stolen.
Oh, yes, he claimed it loudly and bitterly.
Yeah.
And nobody ran around putting tinfoil hats on anybody's heads as a result of her complaining.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats have complained about every election they've lost.
Mm-hmm.
They said it wasn't fair that it was stolen and all those things. When Republicans make the same claim, somehow we can make a whole show out of that, and let's not. But what Trump raised in that speech, first of all, NBC, ABC, and CNN just refused to cover the speech at all. They just didn't carry it. So that left CBS and Fox to run the thing. And then everybody was curiously silent about it after it was over.
Yeah.
But I think everybody, Democrats, Republicans, they said if there's any doubt about the integrity of our elections, we need to erase that doubt. They should, if they truly believe that it's clean, then they should welcome an audit. If they don't welcome an audit, then that just tells you maybe they're trying to preserve the capacity to cheat.
That does bring up a great point. I mean, obviously, there is only one reason to oppose digging into it and making sure that they're clean. And
that's just, you want to preserve the capacity to cheat.
Exactly.
That's the only reason you'd oppose it.
Do you enjoy, Missy, going to the polls and voting?
I do.
I do, too.
And I don't want election month. I want election day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Agreed.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm with Sean Hannity on this. It ought to be a single day, and it ought to be a national holiday. It ought to be a bank holiday. The first Tuesday after the first Monday of November should be a national holiday.
I agree. That's one thing, talking about election day. I remember back when it was election year. Now it's election season. It's a couple of years at least. I remember fondly when it was just a year. But, one thing I love going to the polls, and where I vote, it's an old school that's been closed down for years, and it's used as a government annex now.
Mm-hmm.
The school was built during the WPA years, back in the Depression and all that. It's that old stone, flagstone kind of construction. Hollow wooden floors that creak when you walk on them, and there's every kind of walk of life standing in those hallways waiting to cast their ballots. The place that I go vote is the kind of place where a lot of the guys in there, at least, their ID of choice is their carry permit.
Yeah, okay, I got it.
That kind of thing.
So you have floors that creak when you walk on them. That's not like Miss Campbell at my school who creaked when she walked.
Nice. Photos all over the hallway of my polling place where, there's classes from the 1930s and 40s of elementary school students there in black and white photos. And
yeah.
An old basketball championship photo from back in the day when the ball still had laces on it and all that. It's a nice little slice of life, and you get to see other people.
It is American community. Election Day was an American community event where we kind of all day. I remember being in school on Election Day, and all the moms and dads were in the school because it was Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, and the whole neighborhood was in the school, and it was a communal American experience.
Yeah.
And half the people voted one way, half the people voted the other way, but everybody got along.
One thing I noticed is that the people at my polling place, they're dirty hands, dirty boots, lawyers in ties, and everything in between. They all seem to understand the process. That we're not just casting our little slip of paper in a bucket. We're going to count those up, and that's how it ends. It's a process. These votes go eventually. The Electoral College decides the whole thing and all that. They understand the process by which this is all accomplished. But also, I think it's really worth pointing out that these are regular, everyday working folks, and that leads me to my next point, which is this rise of socialism in America. And I have a hard time believing that these regular everyday folks with paint splashes on their boots, their steel-toed boots, or they've got gloves tucked in their back pocket, I have a hard time believing those folks want to pay for free college, free healthcare, free education for everybody else. What do you think?
Well, I think for the men and women who have fought for our country, I mean, what an insult. Yeah. You know, I mean, honestly, it is.
Yeah, that's a great take.
Well, you will want to read You Tell Me Texas this very week, you know, published, you know, it has just the most recent edition of You Tell Me Texas, because that's exactly what I, the point that I make. And it says the heartland will have its say.
Yeah, yeah.
And where we are is we have come to the pass where a very loud group of people on each of the coasts, mm-hmm. in elite enclaves that to which most people don't have access, have gained the commanding heights of, you know, academia, legacy media, you know, the entertainment, the culture, and they thus are able to make a lot of noise, but they don't make the country work.
That's true.
Who makes the country work? The people in Akron, Ohio, making tires.
Mm-hmm.
And the people in Moline, Illinois, I think it is the diesel engine capital of the United States.
That's right.
And the people in the mills of Dalton, Georgia, making carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And in our business in Quincy, Illinois, making broadcast transmitters. And because that's, if you ever broadcast transmitter, it was likely made in Quincy, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Things, the work that gets done across this country, not to mention the tens of thousands, which is an astonishingly small number, but the people who work from sun up to sunset to put gorgeous, delicious food on our tables.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Those people don't much care to fund the grievance studies degree at some university so that some kid who's unwilling to do any real work can have his college loan repaid.
You know, Greg Gutfeld on Fox News, on his show this week, referred to these folks as the credentialed class.
They are
people who, as he put it, they have advanced education, no marketable skills, high debt, and they are engaging in a coping mechanism for the envious.
Wow.
Because these are people that are not, generally speaking, if you went to some of these Ivy League schools or Northeastern schools that you know, are famous for promoting the socialist point of view, these are not poor kids going there.
Right.
No, these are rich white liberal kids.
Yeah.
Affluent white liberal kids. Now, who was it? Clyburn. James Clyburn from South Carolina was talking about, I looked at the people that are at the Democratic Socialists of America rally meeting event.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't see anybody look like me.
Mm-hmm.
So these are affluent, pasty white liberals, you know, that that have decided that their lives aren't turning out the way they really thought they would.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to blame it on something. And so the system's not working up in the system.
Yeah.
It's not that the system's not working. You're not working.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think we've done everything to cater to these kids. Safe spaces. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I can't stand it. I really can't stand it. I'm like, just get up and go to work, you know?
That's you and me.
Yes.
You know, we get up and go to work every
right.
morning, and we go way earlier than a lot of people do.
And Mr. Gleiser does that on occasion.
Yeah.
Every now and then I get out of bed. I wander in just to see what's going on.
You're a very hardworking man, yes.
Yes. But we you know, we could easily get upset and say we want a safe space, we want a softer pillow, et cetera. Our alarms go off really dadgum early.
Yeah.
And we have to get up here, and we walk in. For the listeners who don't know, Melissa and I walk into a blank page every mm-hmm. morning. And we have a couple of hours to fill that page and get on the air with the latest news, the latest sports, any information that you folks in East Texas need to know or want to know. We have to fill that page up and be ready to broadcast that to you guys. And it doesn't matter if the computers aren't working, which happens sometimes.
Sometimes it happens.
The power goes off, mm-hmm. As happened 2 weeks ago. We walked into a building that was about 98 degrees with no air conditioning.
Someone will hit a utility pole on occasion.
It does happen, yeah. And we have to get it done. There are folks in a million different jobs that do the same thing every day. It has to get done. Someone has to do it.
That's right.
And they say, fine, I'll step up and I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't ask for someone to give them a handout or a safe space or, you know, a teddy bear to cuddle with during their stress times.
Well, I think it's called integrity. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I sleep well at night knowing I did a good job that
yeah,
day.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I mean,
well, you sleep well at night, and you have the satisfaction of knowing that you did something worthwhile and that you are sufficient unto yourself.
Yes.
You're dependent on nobody else.
Yes.
And you have the satisfaction of having done a good job and earned your own way in the world. And I can't imagine living any other way.
Right. Yeah.
As I say all the time, personal responsibility is the ultimate expression of freedom.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If you're responsible for your own health, your own well-being, feeding yourself, clothing yourself, housing yourself, if you accept that responsibility, you are truly free.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, listen, talking about freedom, let's maybe take a nod toward the possible loss of it. Democrats leading in the polls for the fall election, according to the latest Fox News poll. Trump's approval rating is 39%, which is equal to the lowest it's been. Even a majority of Republicans now say that the economy is weak and weakening. Democrats would win if the election were held this week.
And in other news, it's hot in Texas.
That's right.
Okay,
right.
So, you know, the fact that the polls are underwater for Republicans, I have learned to just ignore.
It almost is a good sign.
Yeah, I've just learned to ignore that because, you know, I have long ago given up on American political polls, most of them, because they have quit being instruments to reflect public opinion and become instruments for shaping public opinion.
Shaping, yeah.
And so I pay no attention to them. You know, and sure, you know, the economy would, Republicans would be in a lot better shape if the economy were doing better than it appears to be doing, when in fact it's doing pretty damned well. You know, what's being lost because we don't have good reporting is the economy's in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
You know, GDP is growing. I know we're paying more for gasoline and that's pushing inflation up, and I know all those problems. But, you know, corporate earnings are up. You know, hiring is up. There's, wages are up. You know, incomes are on the rise. There's a lot going on that's good that gets kind of masked by the fact that it costs more to fill up the tank, and it, you know, and grocery prices are affected by delivery prices. So, you know, there's some, you know, unease, but the economy's pretty strong actually. And the economy, the Republicans would do better if it appeared stronger. The thing that the Republicans could hang their hat on, going back to what we were talking about a couple of topics ago, is the Democrats have lost their minds.
Indeed.
And the problem the Democrats are going to have, I think, is that people that still have, you know, Democrats, people who vote Democrat, and I don't want to disparage people, everybody who votes Democrat, but the ones that still have functioning brain cells and understand that, you know, as Gerald Ford said, the government is strong, big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take from you everything you have. Mm-hmm. People that understand that, they may just stay home.
Yeah. Talking about that whole idea of Democrats losing their minds, we've seen this week even some pretty staunch liberals and leftists breaking with the Democrat Party, acknowledging almost a civil war within the party. Van Jones. This week talking about how the Democrats have lost their minds with all the woke stuff and all that. And one of our favorites, Bill Maher, I mean, he's all but, you know, a Republican these days.
He would bristle at that description. Throw something at you if you said that. But, you know, he's at least sane.
Yeah. He's intellectually honest.
Yeah, I appreciate the honesty.
He is intellectually honest, as is the big surprise, John Fetterman.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
I thought he was going to be a catastrophically bad senator, and he's turned out to be a pretty good one.
And he, among others, have realized that some of these policies, the identity politics in particular, have led us down some paths that it's going to be difficult to get out of. You know,
and I don't, going back to where we started on election integrity, if you oppose establishing who you are before you exercise your most sacred right as an American, if you are opposed to being called upon to prove that you are who you say you are, then I want to know what your real motivation is.
Yeah.
Because you're wanting to make it possible for people who have no right to vote, or intending to vote fraudulently, or intending to exercise multiple rights to vote, you are in effect saying we need to be able to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just had this thing where there's 6,800 votes and the fraudulent votes. I've been traveling the past 2 days. in what, Pennsylvania? Mm-hmm. Where was they just discovered? You know,
yeah.
So, you know, I want clean voter rolls, and I think the thing is the SAVE Act is most Democrats are in favor of it.
Sure, sure. 81% overall, I believe, was the last number.
It's an 80-20 issue, and we can't seem to get across the finish line.
Yeah.
What else is on the agenda?
Something else that I hope gets across the finish line, passing the House this week in a modified form, but this new bill that would limit the ability of congressmen to trade stocks. Nathaniel Moran mentioned this a couple of years ago. Finally, it's gotten some traction in the House. Who knows if it'll pass the Senate? And in what form, what kind of, you know, outs they're going to leave themselves. Mm-hmm. But, you know, election integrity, having some kind of integrity with the motivations of the House, maybe even eventually getting, you know, term limits, who knows. But at least limiting the incentive for them to be corrupt and crooked and all that. Good, bad, what do you think?
Great. I'm all for transparency.
Yeah.
You are uniquely positioned as a member of Congress to have insider information.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with things that will move markets, and as a consequence, common sense says to me, if you have the capacity to either yourself move markets or know that they're being moved, mm-hmm. you need to be excluded from the markets.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You need to be on the sidelines of the markets. Go. I don't think members of Congress should be able to trade stocks for their own account.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that they can't put their retirement in a managed fund. They can't send it to Fisher Investments or someplace mm-hmm. and say, "Oh, here, manage my money and tell me about it when I leave office."
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of themselves, you know, dealing in specific stocks,
mm-hmm.
I don't think they should be able to do it.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, I think they should have to park their assets for the entirety of their term plus one full term after they leave office. And them and all the members, the primary members of their family, direct, you know, wife, sons, daughters, all that. I think that they should have to freeze or park all their assets, and then to make sure they can't hand it off to somebody else, and has to sit that way for one full term after they leave office.
Mm-hmm.
That's reasonable, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
But you know, to do away with the incentive to, and let's just call it what it is, to cheat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is sort of at the heart of the original tension between Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson with the whole national bank idea, the idea that people on the inside would have access to the levers of government to manipulate things for their own enrichment. That's what Thomas Jefferson opposed with every fiber of his being. So, and of course, I mean, you know, that eventually went by the wayside in that form, but it's taken on a new form with the Federal Reserve and with the stock market and all that. So,
which gets into some pretty arcane stuff.
It does.
Some pretty deep weeds.
Well, let's get out of the weeds.
All right.
Let's do something fun here. Melissa,
okay.
I've been waiting for your take on this. Have you seen the photos? Please tell me you have, of the Obama Center in Chicago.
Yes.
That's an attractive building.
It is.
It's
really nice, yeah. It is. Come on, it is.
It's an atrocity.
No, it's nice.
Yeah, it's...
You want it to stand out.
It's an atrocity.
It stands out.
It stands out.
It lacks dignity.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that bothers me about that. It is unlike most presidential libraries, unlike the George W. Bush Presidential Center on the campus of SMU,
mm-hmm.
Unlike the Lyndon B. Johnson Library in Austin, unlike mm-hmm. the Reagan Library, go down the list, it is not a National Archives library.
Mm-hmm.
So it is basically a center for the advancement of liberal causes.
Mm-hmm.
It is not an archive of the Obama presidency.
It's an Obama imaging center.
That's correct.
Nice.
What it is. So it's not.
Yeah.
It's not a presidential library. It's a. It's a. It's an activist.
Now I've been
institution.
To. You probably have too. I've been to some of these presidential libraries. Of course, we know that the up until the end of World War II, there weren't presidential libraries. These are a relatively new concept in American history. In fact, I pointed this out on the air one time, up until the time of Eisenhower, it was assumed that a president's private papers were his own.
That's true.
I'm guessing that Trump and Biden would like for that to still be the case.
But, yeah.
But you know, it wasn't until a congressional act in the late 50s that brought all that in under the National Archives. But if you look at the first presidential library, really, was Truman's. That was called that,
right?
You know,
right?
And it's, by comparison, it's a parking garage for some of these newer ones. I mean, it's a very, very modest building, as is LBJ's, as is Eisenhower's. Eisenhower's looks like it might be where the local school board meets. I mean, a nice place, nice grounds outside, a statue of him in his World War II uniform and all that. But it's a relatively modest idea compared to some of these new ones.
Well, Bush's, both of the Bushes, the one in Texas A&M, mm-hmm. George H.W. Bush, which I have not been. I've not been to that.
I've been to
the LBJ Library, and certainly the one on the SMU campus. But the George W. Bush Library on the SMU campus, it's on the SMU campus, which means it has to be architecturally consistent with SMU, mm-hmm. because SMU has been very, very good.
And it's educational.
SMU has been exceptionally good about maintaining consistency of architecture through mm-hmm. its more than 100-year history. So it's architecturally pleasing, but it is a very, very good educational resource. They did a nice job.
Mm-hmm.
And it reflects George W. Bush's modesty.
Mm-hmm.
But it's you know, it is tempered and it's modest.
Yeah, yeah.
It's beautifully done. And certainly it puts the Bush presidency in the best possible light. Of course it does.
Mm-hmm.
But you can actually learn things by going in it. And they hold events in it that are intended to, you know, advance public policy and the understanding of public policy. Mm-hmm. This Obama thing.
Yeah.
I think I look at the building. I think it's just monstrous.
And you need a drone to fly around the top to read that text that's carved in the side.
I think the thing's monstrous. I can't stand it. It's not because I don't like Obama. It's just I don't think the building's at all. I don't think it will in any way withstand the scrutiny of time.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a very good symbol, though. For Democrats, leftist politics, if you will. A couple of things. Obviously, it's not the most attractive building in the world. It displaced some people mm-hmm. in the downtown area,
yeah,
which, of course,
people lose their houses.
Yeah, isn't that what they call gentrification?
Poor people losing their houses.
Yeah.
I thought you guys were all about helping poor people.
News coming out this week that one of the contractors, several of the contractors have been stiffed. One is a plumber. Been stiff for $4 million. This week he had to close his business, turn down a half dozen other contracts, close his business, and lay off 25 people. He's a union contractor, and I thought the Democrats were all about the unions. But anyway, I thought that was interesting.
I thought they were all about the working guy. I thought they were all about, and some of these businesses that didn't get paid are minority-owned businesses.
Most of them are minority-owned businesses.
You know,
with the Obama Center.
So the hypocrisy just drips.
Right.
It does. It drips.
And I'm, you know, and this is not me being a partisan. I would be very upset if a Republican president did the same thing.
I'm with you on that.
I mean, wrong is wrong. They did the work, pay them.
Mm-hmm. And I think we need to get away from this. The only word I can think of is ostentation. It's just too, these things are too big. They're too expensive. I don't remember what the price tag on this was finally, but it's crazy.
Yeah, but not 100 years from now, 5 years from now, nobody will care.
Yeah. Right. Speaking of big price tags, your Kansas City Chiefs,
yep.
$3 billion for their new stadium.
Mm-hmm.
What about that?
I don't know. I like the old stadium.
I do, too.
I'm a fan of the old, and the Royal Stadium right next door to it. I hate that it's moving, but, it's a big franchise. I mean, the fan base is growing. I mean, we have to.
I find it interesting that when they did this new, the plans for this new roofed stadium mm-hmm. include a way to capture sound and keep the sound inside. Because they want it to remain the loudest stadium in the NFL.
It is so loud.
Okay, so we only have a little bit of time left. I have to share with you this one really, really kind of fun story this week. So Customs and Border Protection, they have an agriculture detector dog. Her name is Maisie.
Okay.
All She's right. adorable.
Yeah.
This week, she sniffed out 99 pounds of prohibited meat, plants, and wildlife products inside luggage arriving from Thailand, including 33 pounds of mangoes, garlic, bamboo, banana plants, 50 pounds of unapproved meat, and 16 pounds of Bengal monitor lizard meat.
I hate it when they take away my Bengal monitor lizard.
Where
meat
are we going to get our meat?
Where are we going to get our lizard fajitas? Something to throw on the grill this week.
When I travel, they don't let me have my mangoes. I get really upset. Why are people trying to bring this stuff in?
I don't know.
It seems like a lot of work to cut up a lizard. I mean, how many lizards does it take to build a burger?
These are 16-pound lizards.
Wow.
So I'm guessing they would not be welcome in the Melissa Kaiser news booth.
No, thank you.
Along with all the snakes.
Wow.
Well, listen, folks, on that note, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you so much for joining us once again on In Focus. Jeff Rourke here with Paul Gleiser and Melissa Kaiser. We'll see you next time.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program exploring local, state, and national issues that impact East Texas. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. We thank you for listening. Join us again next week.